Hello everyone.
And welcome to another episode of the Conscious Cloud.
Okay, cool. I've got it turned off. Sorry, I just had the new iBrain installed the other day, and so I was just messing around with the 5D consciousness switch. I've got a little toggle switch on the side of my head now. So in 5D consciousness mode, you can astral travel, go through wormholes, go to different dimensions. It's actually quite nice. You know, Apple had just came out with it. So if you guys are looking to upgrade your brain, iBrain, this is an unpaid solicitation. So on today's episode of The Conscious Cloud, I sit down with a dear friend of mine, Miss Soul Rays of Soul Rays Jewelry. I was there a few years ago when she first started to decide to go her own way and make her own jewelry. And so we get into that. But that aside, she's been a dear friend of mine over the years, and it's been wonderful to see her flourish and blossom. She's an inspiration to me and somebody that I look up to and certainly value my conversations with her, because she's a very loving and kind and insightful person. And so I hope you folks enjoy what we talk about. So without further ado, Miss Soul Rays. All right, everyone, I would love to welcome to the podcast my dear friend and somebody that I consider my celestial mother, Miss Soul Rays.
Hi, thank you for having me on here.
Yeah, thanks for taking time out of your day to come on. I mean, this has been a long time coming, so I'm happy that you've taken time out of your day to come and talk, and you have a very wonderful gift in being able to take your energy and turn it into a beautiful physical manifestation and creation in your jewelry. And you're also a lovely person to be around and talk to as well. So I'm excited to be able to share that with people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been quite the journey, you know, to get from where we are. Is this the podcast, Joe?
Yes, we are officially podcasting.
All right, awesome. So yeah, no, it's been an amazing journey. I think back at when we first met, and just I kind of look at where I was as a person, what I was going through at the time, what I was essentially recovering from. So I was recovering from quite a few things, and how my healing has evolved and just kind of really taken place over the past few years, and what it looks like now for me is just so different, but in some ways very much the same. I think our essence is always our essence. I don't think that really ever changes.
Yeah. I mean, we are timeless, you know. Mm-hmm. Like our essence. Yeah, exactly what you're talking about. I don't think it gets any older. I think it kind of conforms to what we tell it to, right, in our mind. Like, oh, absolutely. I'm feeling older, or oh, I'm experiencing this, and I feel like our body kind of responds to that. It's like, okay, you want to feel old? I mean, we could feel younger, but if you want to feel older, we can do that too.
Yeah, we can do that too, or we can just reside in our essence, and just flow with that. And I think what's really beautiful about connecting with certain individuals that maybe see another person's essence before all the other stuff is that connection that happens. I feel like we have that. I feel like regardless of what's happened over the years, what I choose to see in you is your essence, regardless. You know, and that just makes for a really beautiful connection. It really does. And I don't know that. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to agree with you and say absolutely. And I think that's what a lot of teachers that you know, at least that I've learned from over the years, that's, you know, kind of like the deal with, like, I always use Ram Dass as an example, but he would always just see through, you know, beyond the story, beyond the gender, beyond the body, into the essence that everyone has, that, you know, I feel comes or may come from, you know, one particular place.
Right. Yeah, it'd be it's a beautiful thing to be able to see others in that way, and it just really offers so much compassion for one another if we're able to step into that space of, you know, I have met your essence. I know it's beautiful. So regardless of this and this and this and that that's happened or that you've done or that you've said, I have met your essence and it's beautiful. So
yeah,
I'm good with you. I'm not gonna, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's important to remember that that exists within all beings, you know, because let's say you met somebody that may have been incarcerated at one point in time or another, or maybe currently, if you met them and they weren't wearing that jumpsuit or that outfit and they weren't in the building that you happen to see them in, and you just met them, you know, just like anybody else, they would just still be a human being, you know?
Right.
And they still have an essence and they still deserve to be loved. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately, is this idea of when we say, you know, these like platitudes that exist in the conscious community, just these platitudes, like we're all one, whatever. I think that it permeates all membranes. The conscious community is an illusion. We're all in that. We're all conscious mm-hmm. human beings. We're all a part of the community. So, but when you think of that, like platitude, we're all one, that includes every person that's in prison.
Oh my gosh, it includes every person with every story, every background. An infinite amount of possibilities exist in this humanness that we experience. Stories are endless, you know, and this topic really kind of sparks, it kind of fires me up a little bit, because in my own personal experience, in my own personal life, I've experienced so many different chapters, and almost what seems like reincarnations within the same lifetime. I have been this, you know, we'll just put the labels that I have been this, and I have been that. And I've experienced from the perspective of these different people, per se, that are me, in these chapters in this book of life, what it feels like to be that.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, and so it's really hard for me sometimes when I experience people unable, or maybe unwilling, or maybe they're just not in a space in their existence where they can put themselves in another person's shoes. I mean, but it's really hard for me when I'm around people that can't fully do that. And if they do, they stop at a certain point, you know?
Yeah,
I can understand that person had a hard time. Maybe they had a difficult childhood and that led to this, this, and that. But I had a hard childhood and I still was able to do this, this, and that. It's not about that. It's about that human being over there experienced suffering, and the reasons why they experienced suffering, whether or not you had a hard life as well, look very different. And before judging that person and saying they're, you know, if I was able to get myself out of this situation, I don't understand why they can't. We all have a choice in life. You don't know the circumstances. You don't know what's going on with that person on so many levels. And at the end of the day, does that really matter? The person's suffering.
Yeah. And being able to look at that and not seek to condemn other people for maybe where they are on their path, you know, and it's kind of a reminder when you see individuals going through what you may have already gone through, or maybe what's yet to come in your life, but just being able to recognize and see and be compassionate for individuals and kind of meet them where they're at, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, having compassion for somebody or meeting someone where they're at doesn't mean that you have to invite them over for dinner and spend a lot of time with them.
Right.
You know, you can do that from afar. Mm-hmm. You can do that with individuals across the world that you've never met. And it's just being conscious of it, you know.
Our oneness is not exclusive to these, you know, to a specific type of person. It's basically where, you know, kind of where I'm at. It's not exclusive to these, you know, we're all one, but only in this group, you know.
Yeah, and I feel that. I feel that a lot of times, though. Mm-hmm. It's people are like, we're all one, except for the president. Except for that guy.
Yeah, except for, like, think about the infinite amount of possibilities of types of people out there. I mean, go there, take it there. I've taken it there.
Mm-hmm.
Serial killers.
There's a lot of people who've done a lot of things, mm-hmm. but there's still mm-hmm. that. Look, think of that person. Like, you know, I like this Paul Selig's got a teaching. He's like, think of the one person that you would want to put into darkness.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and when you put them in darkness, you go there too. So it's mm-hmm. like, that person is an aspect. If you believe that we are all an aspect of the one, you know, with the oneness or whatever your pronoun, God, the universe, source energy, nature, love, whatever makes you happy. If you think that we are all of that thing, then it's like that person is too.
Yeah.
And hating them is just going to lower your vibration, bring density to you. And again, it's not to excuse the actions that anybody right. takes. I'm not here to justify or pat somebody on the back for taking an action or committing a violent act in at all. But that individual at that point in time is attending to the level of consciousness that they believe may or may not be appropriate due to the experiences and circumstances in their life that has led them to making that decision.
It's fascinating to me because we group things in good or bad, you know, evil, mm-hmm. good or evil, low, you know, negative, positive. And if we were to view things more on a level of frequency, it may shift how we look at where we group certain people, you know. And perhaps if we were to view certain behaviors and actions as not good or bad, but a lower frequency and a higher frequency, maybe that would shift enough in our perception of what's good and bad into more of how can I put out into this wavelength of energy that surrounds us a more higher frequency. And when we start labeling things as that's good, that's a good person, that's a bad person, the frequency shift that happens in your own body over time creates the manifestation of the reality that we are all living in.
Exactly. Exactly. And we collectively decide mm-hmm. that.
We do.
When, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. and when you look at the media, and when I say media, I mean the news, social media, any form of information that you're going to, you know, like it could, anything, people spreading information in mass quantities. We can spread information so quickly now.
Yeah.
Through various forms of media. And so when you have someone, an influencer or a giant media corporation, mm-hmm. and they are showing something and they're calling, you know, that's billions right. of people whose minds have all just been shifted to a vibration where they're mm-hmm. calling a dense energy to something, yeah. you know, or a positive energy. Because if you see a story about, you know, there's a man who comes and delivers gifts to a children hospital, or yep. there's a person who left this lady a $2,000 tip for Christmas, or, you know, if, and you can feel that. And when you feel, think about that. Think about, like, you know, this person left this person a tip, and you get excited inside. You're like, I have hope for humanity. And then you're like, there's this car accident that happened, and people are like, oh my God. And you just feel dense,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And so that's a good way to experience energy. I mean, we could even, for folks who are listening to this right now, we can just do a quick energy experiment.
Yeah.
And so, if you'll just entertain me,
yes,
you know,
of course, I'd love to.
Yeah. So we can just say, I wish for all beings to be loved, happy, and safe. Mm. And just say that if you're listening to this, say it out loud. I wish for all beings to be loved, happy, and safe.
Yes.
And feel your energy lift, but you can even put your hands out in front of you when you say it, and you'll feel your hands feel lighter, and then say, I wish that I could be the only person that's happy, loved, and safe.
Right.
and you'll feel the density in your hands.
Literally my shoulders, my hands, everything just dropped.
Yep.
It just dropped.
And that's what we're talking about. That is
exactly.
And you can, again, I wish for all beings to be happy, healthy, and safe, to feel loved, and to know they're worthy. And you just, again, that's what we're talking about. That's the energy. And the more you work with claims, affirmations like that, you can train yourself. You can train yourself to become compassionate. You can train yourself to lighten your vibration in a situation. And so that's
absolutely. I'm sorry not to cut you off. I was just making an observation when I, put my hands out and intended for all of humanity to feel happy and safe. The uplifting feeling and sensation that I felt without any words spoke back to me as we sounded like me, like I. And it just kind of comes to show you that when you express love and compassion for others, the reason I feel that we feel that warm, cozy feeling is because we know on a cellular and energetic level that we are so connected. When you say we, really are speaking of you. It includes you. So when I'm like, I hope for goodness, peace, and love for all. Oh, it's just a warm, cozy feeling. And I'm included in that. You're included in that.
And you can have that whenever you want it. Mm-hmm. It's available for free and excess.
And then when you say, I hope for these things for me, it shifts the frequency.
Yeah. And you can claim it for, I can claim it for you. I can claim it for my mom. I can claim it for all, for people you've never even met. And you are sending, you become a light. And you send that energy out and it changes the feeling in a room.
Yeah.
And you can, and that's loving kindness meditation. You can say, I wish to be happy, healthy, and safe. I wish to be happy, healthy, and safe. And then you can say, I wish for everyone in my house. Mm-hmm. Then you can say, everybody in my neighborhood, my city, my state, the country. And you can just imagine in your mind just the light expanding and engulfing everything it comes into. And you can eventually expand it out into the universe. And that changes things, whether you believe it or not. It literally vibrationally changes matter around you.
Absolutely. Just it's just so that exercise was very interesting for me because I felt a couple of different things, obviously, when we said when we stated that in two different ways. And the version that was more about self, where you would think that would feel kind of whole, felt very isolating.
Yeah, it's claiming separation, you know. Mm-hmm. I wish to be the only one that has everything, you know, like it's not natural, I believe, to claim ourselves in separation, which I believe is how we've gotten to where we are in the world.
Right. All those are, I think, the messages that we get on the daily are essentially think of yourself first.
Yeah.
You know, so.
As long as I've got mine, that's all that matters, you know. So, but I think it's changing. I think it's changing. I'm hopeful with the direction of things. I'm very excited about 2021. So again, thank you for being the first podcast of the new year.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yes, I am. Yes. It's an honor to be here.
It's a great way to start off the new year, getting to talk to one of my favorite people about some of my favorite things.
I love you.
I love you too.
I love you.
Seriously, it's been exciting to watch you grow over the years. And so I guess we'll do a little backstory here. So I met Sol, how many years ago was it? Gosh, 7 or 8?
Almost a decade, right?
Yeah, it's a while, quite a few years ago. And she was working at a gem shop that I frequented with my partner at the time. And it's so funny. I remember when Sol first had downloaded Instagram. And now she's been pretty popular and successful on Instagram, and I'm asking her questions about my social media page.
Oh,
so,
my gosh. And it's always changing. And I've learned a lot, not just about, you know, being on social media and running an Instagram page and all of that, but how all of that can affect one on a personal level. And because, you know, when you're on social media all the time, you have to be very mindful and you have to be very clear about what your intentions are. Not just in what you are feeding, you know, and putting out there, but what you're being fed. And I have had to really, respect and honor that my success mirrors the amount of work I've been willing to do within myself. And when I say success, I mean putting out good and compassionate energy, you know. Mm-hmm. not so much having a business that's successful, that's bringing in money and whatnot, although that does happen and that's great, but I've had to really, really be very mindful that my intentions are clear, because social media in general is one of those things that can really, it can get in your head, and it can.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure comparative aspects of it, you know, and that's something that I've heard other people speak about too, where, you know, there's enough abundance on this planet for everyone. Mm-hmm. There's enough food to make sure everyone's fed. There's enough space to make sure everyone has a home to be warm. There is enough money to go around because they just make new money all of the time. Yeah. There's enough success and enough attention and enough love for everyone. And so thinking out of that abundant mindset will give you more of that, instead of coming out of a space of lack, or I don't have enough, or I'm not as good as this person, or they're more popular, mm-hmm. or they're doing better than me. All of that will continue to reaffirm and attract those very things that you don't want
Exactly. And it's really important, I think, to come to that understanding sooner than later when you start a business, especially if you're looking at something to do something social media, because it's very insidious in some ways. So over the years, I've grown a certain, I guess you could say, a thicker skin around some of that, and a lot more clarity, definitely, in what my calling, purpose, intention is for being on there. Because that's really where I run most of my business is mostly driven through Instagram, and then some on Facebook and whatnot, but mostly Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, like, dare I say, necessary evils to just, if you want to have a business, I mean, like, you kind of have to have social media and be able to interact with people, which I think you do a great job of that. So yeah, so Soul Rays is that's your jewelry making name, and seems to be who you've embodied over the years. And so I guess maybe if we could talk a little bit about that. So what are your intentions, and what sets your jewelry apart from other people?
So when I started the business, like you mentioned, it was, I think, end of 2013, I'd started an Etsy shop. And the idea was to create jewelry that would be not only meaningful for people, but inspire a spark within them to begin a journey of self-exploration, you know? And that was one of the main intentions that I put forth. The other side of that was, it was very healing for me. I had just, see, 2011, at the beginning of 2011, I had almost, well, no, toward the end of 2010, I had almost lost my life. At the beginning of 2011, I moved from New York to Richmond, Virginia to begin what I consider recovery. On many levels, not just physical, but also spiritual. I had gone through quite a difficult decade of what we call the dark night of the soul before then. Mm-hmm. And so Soul Raised Jewelry became not only my healing path, but an invitation for others to do the same. And so I opened my Etsy shop in 2013 and Instagram in 2014. And it was essentially to infuse my feed with good intention, with my vibration, with love, just with me, with my essence. That was what I really wanted to kind of get out there. And I started taking custom orders right away. And what's happened over time is that individuals began to message me with experiences that they were having with my jewelry, and you know, sending me just all kinds of letters and emails on how it's all that they wear, and when they wear, they experience this, and they weren't sure what's so different about it. And I think it's hard for me to articulate and talk about it without sounding like, oh, you know, I've got some kind of something. But some kind of special juju. But it's I connect with the individual's energy while I'm creating their custom piece, and I'm able to. Sometimes I feel an audio running, and I'll either almost receive a storyline of something that they might be going through. That happens. Sometimes I see color. I will look at a picture, because I usually, what I'll do is I'll ask my client to send a photo of themselves and what they're going through, a little blurb of on what they're going through. Sometimes what they write to me is enough for me to pick up on what crystals might be good tools for them to access another level within themselves to help their healing path. I will view a photo, and I'll see colors, certain colors and hues, and that kind of that begins the process of creating the custom piece for the individual. And I would have to say, I think 99% of the time, it's been what they've needed, and that's amazing to say.
Totally.
Seven years of doing this,
To be able to tune in. Mm-hmm. At that level. And I think that's possible. You know, I think you can think of anybody. And if you sit down and quiet yourself enough, you're able to tune into anybody's energy. And so and also you can also imbue things with energy as well. And I think when both people or individuals or communities or at whatever level are willing to participate and believe, it's like, if you don't believe in magic, you don't get any of the magic.
Yeah, no, it's something that you have to be open to. Like anything else, we are the creators of our reality, and nothing is real without our belief that it is. It just it's that's how powerful, that's how amazing we are.
Yeah.
And so when I'm connecting with another human being that's open to this, it's extremely powerful. And I will get images that they'll receive images that I'm thinking about. I'll receive images that they're thinking about. I'll create a piece of jewelry and I'll do a swirl on the design that to them looks like, and it very, and when I look at it after I've created, I can see the side of a, like the profile of a horse head, and they ride horses or something. So there's just a lot of different things that can manifest. But it all really does boil down to where you're at and how open you are to whatever it is that you're experiencing.
Definitely.
One
thing, could you, it sounds like you're moving the mic around just a little bit.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, if you could just try to keep it as stationary as possible, because it just comes a little fuzzy. Okay. The fun of doing podcasts over the internet. It's so cool that we even have the ability to be able to do this. It blows my mind. Well, cool. So that leads me to my next question, which is, so you having to, I mean, maintain a certain vibration being a jewelry maker, what have you been doing to kind of maintain, or I think you used the word navigate, what have you been doing to navigate during these times and maintain your light and vibration to make sure that, you know, you're able to kind of like be present when you're making this stuff?
So I have a 5-year-old And you know, what a gift it is to have a child and to have someone that you guide. You know, parenting really grounds me and it brings me to the now. And he reminds me every single minute of the day that that's what we have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I also honor taking the breaks that I need. So because I work intuitively, my clients know that you know, they know there's a wait list of about 3 to 4 months. And within that time frame, that includes the rest and recharging that I need. So I might create 3 to 5 pieces in one day because I'm on it. You know, it's there. Everything's just mm-hmm. flowing. And then the next day, it may be 1 or 2 pieces. And the next day after that may not be anything. So I have learned to listen to my body, to listen to where I am emotionally, and to really observe where my thoughts are going, because I highly respect what I do. It's an honor to do what I do. It's sacred. Yeah. It's very, very sacred. You're talking about infusing a piece of anything. It could be anything, but for me, it's jewelry, a crystal that is intended to bring meaning to this other person's healing path. That's powerful. So
very powerful, yeah.
I take it very seriously. And I know that if I am not feeling balanced, if I feel anxious or whatever, I know that it's not going to be of the best service, not only to the other person, but to myself as well. And this is actually a very interesting thing, though, that even at times when I am not feeling fully centered and grounded, I can feel spirit, energy, guides, whatever you want to call that, your higher self, take the lead. And I will literally be able to still, I can still create whatever that piece needs to be for that individual. So it just really looks many different ways. But if, you know, at the end of the day, I do practice certain things. I try to be part of workshops that, like, the other day I did a New Year's retreat, virtual retreat. Those types of things for me that I feel are in alignment with me, certain individuals that are leading these retreats, recharge me. They give me another sense of, they just kind of give you a sense of connection. And I think at the end of the day, that's where I'm at. And I think that's where we're most whole and balanced, is when we're feeling connected.
Yeah, feeling connected and a part of our community.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, has motivated me to continue to reach out to people. I actually am currently doing, Mitch Horowitz has been one of my favorites. Shout out to Mitch Horowitz. Check out his books if you haven't. The one I've been into right now is The Miracle Club. Mm. And it's him kind of going through these different manifestation and mental visualization techniques, where he goes through various different religions, Eastern and Western traditions, and kind of deduces what he thinks has worked the best out of them. And so I've been doing a 10-day challenge where you just write, get a piece of paper, make a 10-day block grid, write the dates, and then set an intention. And pretty much my intention is, I am calling to me all of the opportunities that support the growth of my podcast in the highest way possible. And so the whole idea is to have your intention could be like, I want to get out of debt. It could just be something super simple. And so you just focus on that for 10 days. And during the 10 days, try to visualize your intention being fulfilled. And then being open to how the opportunities will present themselves for your intention to also be kind of brought into your physical reality. And so it's like using the law of attraction, which I think most people are mm-hmm. familiar with, to in the visualization techniques of aligning to the fact that what you want already exists mm-hmm. and you are kind of pulling yourself in the direction of the possibility. And so it's been really awesome over the past 10 days. I'll just share something really quick. I got on the Thank You Plant Medicine Facebook group And there's this guy, Darshan Baba, who just posted and was like, I want to come on somebody's podcast. Who wants me on their podcast? And just immediately connected with him.
That's awesome.
And since then, I've talked to, we're doing a podcast right now, and I've talked to two other folks that are interested in doing one. So it's like, you know.
Yeah, you set that into motion, cause and effect, you know? And mm-hmm. and on the most subtle level, because that's where manifestation resides, is at our most subtle level of existence, you know? And when I think that's why visualization works so well, is because you are living the experience in the now. And at the most subtle level of your psyche and of your being, you know, because I feel like for me, manifestation has shifted in certain ways. And one thing I know for sure is I pay very close attention to my energetics at the most subtle level possible that I can, you know? So I set my intention, and then I watch, I kind of become the observer, which we are, you know, essentially, and pay attention to where the subtle energies might be shifting, you know?
Yeah. And it's fun. It's an experiment like mm-hmm. that you get to do that benefits you and benefits yeah. others as well. So you get this. And I think that's how, I think these are the principles that our universe work on.
Yeah.
Because you've seen it work so well for
no doubt. Yeah. I remember in the beginning, thinking, you know, I'm going to do this, and this is going to be so great, because it'll inspire and motivate other people to heal, you know, and, it will be wonderful for me as an individual. I think it's going to be a very successful business, and I'll get to work from home, and, you know, this and, you know, all of these things. And I felt all of those things in my core. Like I, without a doubt, that was going to happen. Like I felt it. And there are things right now that I feel are manifesting for me at a level that is so subtle, but that's where the truth resides, that even mm-hmm. the self-doubt that comes through, I can observe, and it doesn't affect that subtle reality that I know is manifesting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And so,
I mean, just like quickly, is there any, like, or off the top of your head rather, what things are true in your life that you had intended at some point in your life?
Oh man. Oh, the peace of mind that I feel.
Yeah.
The liberation that I have in my life right now. My partner, my heartmate, you know, someone that sees me and I see them, and there's full respect and compassion and willingness to grow and learn from each other. That's something I had intended for me on a subtle level. Although I used to say never again. I knew somewhere that this was going to be the case would be that I would meet someone, a soul, you know, that I believe has traveled with me before.
Oh, and I love them.
It's wild. It's just so wild. And then, you know, the stability that I have in my life is another thing that I intended for me. When I had almost lost my life, and I came and I did not die in the sense of your physical death, but I did in other ways. I sure did in other ways. I remember saying to myself, that's how I'll word it, but it's really more higher self speaking to you. It's, which is you, right? So I started having these conversations with the highest of selves, the source energy, I feel. And I remember thinking how nothing was to be taken seriously again. I remember those words vibrating in my system. Don't ever take this so seriously again. Don't. And I gave everything away. I had collected XYZ over the years, and I gave so many things away on a material level, because I realized that that was not to be taken seriously. What was to be taken seriously in a non-serious way is this experience. If I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it's a playfulness that that happens, almost like a childlike energy that I feel I discovered when I had to kind of restart over, reinvent myself, rise from the ashes.
Yeah, it's returning to innocence, right?
Yeah, and that, because you realize that what's really important is that you're experiencing this, that you can, your senses, you have senses, you can smell, you can touch, you can, you know, like I was so overwhelmed by the magic that was just being alive.
Yeah, we take a lot for granted. I mean, there's people that, in stories I've heard of individuals who've been diagnosed with a terminal illness who said they've never felt more alive in their entire life until they got their diagnosis.
I can relate to that. And I think over the years, some of that has been somewhat fleeting because you get caught up in this thing. I guess we could call the matrix. And I every now and then I just have to sit and remind myself, Saul, remember that? Remember you said you weren't going to take that seriously? You know, and it brings me back to what I feel is most meaningful, you know. And the icing on the cake is Ethan, my son. That was not, I did not intend that. I did it at
a higher level, right?
Yeah, and it manifested in him, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I don't know, we can, and that's something that I'm very curious about is the idea of soul contracts and, mm-hmm. and, you know, do we choose to come and incarnate? Because if we do, then why is everyone trying to leave so quickly?
Interesting, right?
You know, mm-hmm. I think a lot of folks in the spiritual community get caught up in that, like, I'm trying to ascend to 5D reality. I need to get off this planet. Oh, and I'm like, yo, dog, you chose to come here and be the person that you are. I mean, at least that's what I believe,
There is no experience more spiritual than being in this 3D reality. It's extremely spiritual, you know.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Like I've had so many cooler moments than I have moments where I was like wanted to go somewhere else. Yeah. Ultimately, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, do you remember back when we met at the rock shop? And I remember in those days, a lot of people talking about, you know, you're not this body, you're a soul, and try to, you know, function more on that soul level. The idea is to ascend, you know, to transcend this physical being, you know? Mm-hmm. And that used to be such a huge thing. And I remember thinking, wow, if we transcend out of this humanness, one, we're going to be extremely ungrounded and still be in here, you know, and just functioning like on a level that's not whole. And I think there's been some change in regards to that in the spiritual community over time. But I do feel like a lot of individuals still, you know, their goal is to transcend this experience.
Yeah, I want to astral travel out of my body and go back to the Palladian place where everything's cool and I get to have drinks by the pool with my friends and no one is killing each other. Yeah, you know, we can do that here, right?
Yeah, you're probably doing it right now.
Yeah, you don't have to go to some other place. This you can do that. We can do that here if we all agree that that's what we want to do. So the sooner we all change our mind and start imagining sweet pool parties, the sooner we'll get pool parties.
So true.
Yeah, but that I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, that idea of transcending out of the body, when I really think that the true teaching, at least as I've come to understand it, is being assumed. Like we're being assumed by our higher selves. We're being assumed.
Yeah, I just think it's really hard for us to wrap our minds around that it could really be so as easy as just being. No labeling, no attachments to nothing. You just be. That's it. I don't think you can
being a spiritual person or
just literally being, just being, existing, just existing, literally just existing, like the plants and the animals do, just existing.
So you mean being a person that's transcended physical existence, so I can just be a plant or a tree? I know what you mean. I'm just having fun. Being is too easy, soul.
It's too easy, exactly.
Do I have to shave my head?
Yeah, it's too easy.
I have to Do I have to shave my head? Shave my head with me? Do I have to give all my things away?
Right.
Do I need to wear the clothes? Am I wearing the wrong outfit?
Oh.
I didn't know I was going to have to wear a different outfit for this podcast, so I feel really embarrassed.
It's wild. It's just so big. But that's, I think, in our nature to make it that complicated. No, literally just how you are right there. That's it. Because you're one out of an infinite amount of possibilities.
I didn't brush my teeth yet. I didn't brush my teeth yet. This can't be it.
You know, it can't be.
Mm-mm. A new shower?
You need more. I should
go shower. I'll be right back.
Teach me anymore.
So I'm perfect now?
Yeah.
Do I have to Venmo you for that?
Mm-hmm. It's endless. It just goes on and on and on. And you're perfect even when you don't think you're perfect. Even when you're questioning if you need to be this way or that way, I do it still.
Oh, especially when you question it.
Yeah.
You're perfect when you stub your toe and when you said that weird thing to your friend and when you maybe took an action that wasn't super beneficial for you. You know, I like what Abraham Hicks says. You can't get it wrong and you won't get it done.
I love that. That's it. That's it. You just kind of, I guess for me anyway, it's become a matter of observing what vibration I am in and choosing what vibration I want to be in if it's different than what I'm feeling or sensing at the time and putting that out there. That's kind of that's what I consider navigating.
She says, choose your next best thought.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you don't like the one yet. Choose your next best thought and you're not having good thoughts. Take a nap.
Yeah.
Just go to bed.
I agree.
No problem. But we try so hard to power through a lot of that, you know, like I just need another cup of coffee. I'm like, do you really? I mean, I'm anxious. I need more coffee. That'll really do it.
It's a tricky thing. We've got so much coming at us at all times, you know?
Well, that's a societal thing. Mm-hmm. Being efficient. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Being anything other than how you truly are, like you're saying, you know, being and inhabiting this beingness and from the beingness, you know, I like too what you said about, you know, being in a vibration. And I think that's something that people need to maybe start to think about. And something that I'm thinking about is being in love or being in fear or in anger. And what that means is your whole being is in that particular vibratory frequency.
That's and right.
You become a tuning fork for that particular frequency. And so you can tell when somebody's pissed off and they're standing next to you, you're like, what is going on? I want to be away from this.
Right. You can sense it. Yeah.
We've got auric fields, you know, we've got the bubble around us. It's like when somebody puts their hand really close to your face and you can feel the force, you know what I mean? You're like, well, you're too close to me. Please step back. Or you're excited about it. You're like, I can't believe that this person is so close to me. I am loving this right now.
It's so true. You know, my son, he senses these things, you know. We all do, right? I think that as children, though, we tend to, our filters not as our wall, you know, we don't have all these layers. We just are kind of, and like, I'll just be looking into nowhere. He doesn't know what I'm thinking about, but he can sense my vibration. I may have a complete, my expression, because I'm very mindful of my expressions around him, you know. I kind of pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. And he will just look at me, and I have my countenance is just serious, you know, pensive. But my vibration may be sadness. Something, you know, I might be thinking of something that brings me a certain sense of sadness. And he'll look at me, he's like, Mommy, why are you sad? And I am focusing on my expression, not looking sad. And there is just that sense of energy, you know?
And I think it's watering that with kids, especially, you know, it's like, I say that a lot of people have Peter Pan syndrome, which is that we can all fly. We've just been told that we can't. Yeah. And so, tell your kids they can fly, tell them they can do whatever they want to, because it's the truth.
It's the truth. And, you know, and if I am, sad or feeling a certain way, you know, it's okay for him to experience that as well. It's just interesting that even when I'm mindful of him, he reads the energy. And I think we all do that on some level.
Well, yeah, and recognizing that we're not our emotions. There's a great
Ooh, that's
meditation
a
that
big one.
Laraji does that I really like, and he's a black male, and so Laraji will do this meditation where he'll say, you know, I am not a man. I am not a man. And he'll just do that until he says it releases. Then he'll say, you know, like, I am not black. I am not black, you know, and then he'll say, I am not a son. I am not a father. I am not a brother. You know, I am not a musician. And he'll
Powerful.
slowly, I am not Laraji. And he'll slowly release all of the titles that have been given to him.
That's
And so when
beautiful.
you release all of these titles that have been given to you by society, you know, your race, your gender, your name, your roles, societal roles, your job, when you release all of these things, which are ways of identifying the self, what are you left with?
Yeah, you just be.
The I am self, that's it, I am.
That's right.
And I am is the eternal self that exists beyond any label. It's the essence, truly the eternal essence that exists within all beings, because everyone can say that.
So that's it. You know,
That's one of my favorites. Laraji's really cool. If you haven't checked him out, he plays a zither, really, really cool instrument. And he was playing a zither on the street in the 1970s. And Brian Eno walked up to him, of all people. And he tried to talk to him, and he was so intent in playing his instrument that Brian Eno left him his number and was like, please call me. And they made an album together. And Brian Eno's pretty badass, so it's a fun story. So you can check that out too. But yeah, that's one of my favorite meditations.
That's powerful. It's powerful. That's
Yeah.
absolutely powerful, and really brings you to like, as you mentioned, the essence of the being of the I am, which is in everything and everyone. And
Yeah.
how important is it to get to be in that space? How important is it to visit that space? It's so important. If we all
Yeah.
practice that, just that one meditation, every so often, you know, hey, let me just kind of peel all these layers off for a second so I can come step into the remembrance of what I am, not so much who I am. It would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The true essence. And he says he does that before every time he performs, so he can go out
Ooh,
there and just
so
be in
cool.
his pure creative energy, which is a great place. You know, I try to do a little meditation generally before I start podcasting, so I can try to allow whatever needs to come through for us in our conversation, and for anybody who's listening too. Maybe
Wonderful.
there's a nugget or many nuggets of
Yeah.
truth or information that can change somebody's mind
Oh
ultimately,
gosh.
right? Like, you can just look at
Yeah.
something just a little differently,
Just, you
and
know,
all,
yeah.
yeah,
That's
all
the
these
that's
downloads over the years have continually just chipped away the, you know, my perspective, which has become a multifaceted crystal, you know,
I love that.
and you can just turn it in any direction you want to see things differently.
Absolutely.
So what projects are you working on currently? You know,
Oh.
what how can, if people are feeling called to you in your jewelry and stuff, like what have you been working on?
So I have let's see. I'm working on custom orders still from last year. So I think I'm gonna wrap all of that up by end of February, maybe March. And I'm not accepting custom orders right now, commissioned work at this time, because I feel a really strong pull toward creating a few different lines, just a few different collections. And one that's come through is working with resin. So I know it's really wild. So I was in a meditation not too long ago, and I started receiving pictures of codes, images of codes, lines, dots, swirls. Really kind of interesting, right? Almost like a circuit board. And so I'm like, oh, well, this is kind of interesting. And I'm sitting in the silence and I get, yeah, it's really cool. So why don't you make a circuit board? Really? Yeah. Take resin and create circuit boards for people to help them connect to a certain frequency. Okay.
I said, all right. I'm very curious now.
Yeah. So I'm working on some of the prototypes and I've jotted down what the images that came through look like. So for the resin, so I'm doing that with those and it's going to be, I'll definitely have to share at least a sketch with you of what's coming. And so that's one line that's come through and I'm not really able to entertain a lot of these new concepts if I am so booked with custom work. So I kind of have to clear that and step into all of this and then open up maybe 5 orders a month, something like that. So the resin circuit board is one thing that's coming. And then I'm also doing a lot more soldering and creating more of fabricated type jewelry. And there are some basic simple type pieces that are coming that I may have mass produced. And then there are what is coming through to be alignment tools. It's all alignment. You know, I think for me anyway, if you can invite not only yourself, but other individuals to find balance and alignment of self, then you've got really nice working antennas walking around.
And the amplification, right?
Yeah. And so the invitation, I think, with my business moving into 2021 is to create. I will always be very open to teaching with my perspective of what crystal healing is and all of that, but I'm also looking to create tools. Not that my work have not functioned as tools, but these are more there's just a different shift in how these will manifest, you know, and assist people. So I'll be creating rings that you wear in a certain way when you're doing healing work. And pendants and other things that will look more like it's very, maybe you would say futuristic.
Oh man, I just got something from the heavens. Yeah. So they're installing 5G towers. So we're installing 5D towers.
That's the only way.
Yeah. We got to combat the 5G with the 5D towers.
I love that.
Yes, we're creating souls, creating pieces for people to walk around, and we're installing 5D coming to a city near you.
I'm gonna hook you up with that. So yeah,
and it's free. That's what it's been intended. This way. Well, at least the you've got to buy the equipment. You know, we've got to sell you the modem, but the service, the energy is free. You know, that's what Nikola Tesla intended.
Yep. Awesome. You can love align. That.
You can align to the grid, the power grid, the grid of consciousness. It is available at all times.
Man, you can totally harness anything. And I think it's just, we can go on and on this level. It's just a whole nother top. It's a whole nother podcast, but it's fascinating. And what I find even more fascinating is that all of this information is accessible to everyone because it's there. It's like literally right here, like, and all it takes is a stillness and a quietness of mind to receive, and just an openness to imagine that what you're imagining is communication and not imagination, but that communication of spirit is imagination. You know what I mean?
And absolutely. Yeah. You've got, it's listening and it's also asking sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it comes through as something that you would identify as, did I imagine that? Because that's our humanness to, you know, we identify things in certain ways. And the word that we have for what might be a message, an energetic message coming through would be imagination, but it very well can be an energetic code. And I feel like that's what happens when you have Reiki sessions with individuals and you receive, you know, certain information and then it's verified by the client, or you know, it's just very
Absolutely.
So much accessible to us.
I think John Lennon said, "A dream we dream together is a dream," or no, "A dream we dream alone is it? A dream we dream alone is a dream, and a dream we dream together is a reality."
Mm-hmm. Boom.
So it takes the collective to do this. Ram Dass says the best thing you can do for others is to work on yourself. So doing the self work, turning the light around inside, seeing where there may or may not be darkness, and going to it, taking your flashlight with you.
Yeah.
And confronting fear. I had this weird dream 2 days ago.
Ooh, tell me.
I had this weird dream where my friends and I were staying in a house together, and we had rented a house where we were paying somebody to come and break into the house we were in to scare us. And we were reading the reviews of how scary it was. And I was like, this is absurd. I want nothing to do with this. I don't do haunted hayrides. I don't like paying money for fear. And I remember being like, what the hell is this? And we were like reading the Yelp reviews, and I'm like, they're like, it's really scary. He smashes windows. And I'm like, what? And I'm like walking around the house. I'm like, where can I hide from this? And so it just kind of like, to me, spoke of like, we invite fear into our lives at times.
And we like, pay for it sometimes.
We pay for it. We pay for fear.
You know,
we literally pay to be scared, and we read reviews about it. Is it scary? Oh, it was really scary. You're going to love this. You're going to be so terrified. It's going to be the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And fear can only have a seat at the dinner table when we call it and invite it over and pay for it. And we have it, and we come and we bring it, and we sit it at our dinner table, and we go, did you hear about this really scary thing? Do you want to be scared right now?
And then we give it a plate of food and feed it.
Yeah.
And then it just gets bigger.
Exactly.
You know, we just keep feeding it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this dream was just so funny to me, but reading the reviews about it really cracked me up. Like, it's going to be really scary. And I'm like, I want nothing to do with this. Wow. And in my dream, I was like, should I go fight this guy? And I was like, wait, why am I going to fight somebody when I'm paying to invite him over? That's rude. It's just really funny. But just that imagery of like, but we do, we invite fear into our lives. And so I think it's realizing when that's happening, or when we're going down that path, or having that sort of thought loop where we can stop and be like, I don't want this. I don't want any more of this.
Yeah.
And just choose something else.
I love that you received an invitation like that through your dream, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, here's a little invitation of clarity around what we know is goes on. A confirmation that's how it goes. And then you can choose as you go along. And within yourself, of course, I feel first, because I think it's a simple idea to say, you know, if you're good with you, you're good with everybody else. People are like, eh. That is not that cut and dry, you know, that going inward and doing that deep, deep work is everything. Not only for yourself, but it is very true that it is the best thing you could do for the collective. And it takes effort and it takes work.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, it really does.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of layers to being a human and to having this human experience, you know, and being these seemingly vast conscious beings and coming in to this really interesting limiting form at times.
That's why.
But realizing that ultimately it doesn't have to be limiting. And again, much like fear, limitations exist in our minds too. Mm-hmm. And as we start to all wake up together, which I feel is happening right now, we can get back into our power. I especially with, you know, maybe what's going on in Georgia right now, people are showing up and realizing that they've had the power, and that we've been convinced that we don't have power. A lot of people that have been disenfranchised over the years have been convinced that to just relinquish their power, that their vote doesn't matter, that maybe they don't matter, and that they don't have a plate or a place at the table, which is not true at all. So I'm happy that people are waking up to the fact in regaining and coming back into their power, so things can start to change in our country, in our world, and we can start to live in the place that we have thought that we've lived, which is a democratic society right. where everyone can be taken care of.
And those that, and also the awakening of individuals now recognizing that there are groups of people that have been treated a certain type of way and disenfranchised, and that this has actually, that it's deeper than just this group of people are just not, for example, educated, so they don't vote and they don't do it. It's a system that's been put yep. in place. And finding people that have in the past thought, that's because of this, this, and that. They were brought up like this. They grew up over here. That's why. Two, an awakening of, no, that is not necessarily, that might be part of the equation, but why is that part of the equation for this group over here? How did that even, why is that the case? And looking at the entire system and break it down. I've enjoyed meeting people that are like, you know what, for the longest time I've had this opinion around this group of people. For example, I grew up in the ghetto, you know, mm-hmm. that's where I grew up. And there are certain priorities for me when growing up in poverty, and for my parents, that didn't include the same priority, that were not the same priorities as other kids that maybe grew up in a different class, right?
Yeah.
And so we could break down why certain things happen the way that they do for generation after generation after generation. And then you look at the responsibility of a family to shift their reality into something else by working really, really hard and seeing how that's definitely a thing. But there's also a system in place, you know, that perpetuates and feeds a certain way for certain groups of people. And yeah. I have seen both sides of that because I've lived many different lives. So I know, yeah. you know, I know what that looks like.
And definitely. I've
met people that now are like, holy crap, how could you have gotten out of that without exactly, you know, pushing this hard or doing this, this, and that? It's a miracle.
And, yeah, it's a blessing, and
it shouldn't be a miracle. It should be,
no.
you know, what we all have access to.
Yeah, so. We shouldn't be fighting to get the bare mm-hmm. minimum of oh. what other people have. It blows my mind. And I've been, I've lived an interesting life. You know, I grew up in Hartford, Connecticut, in a place that wasn't great. My neighbor was murdered. You know, when I was younger, I had a neighbor's older brother get shot by his stepfather. Wow. You know, I've been around gun violence a lot in my life. Okay. And I've also was able to move out of that when I was 9. And, you know, I've moved a lot and been to different schools and had different experiences. So I've lived, I've seen the duality of both yeah. sides of that. And I've also been houseless, too. So okay. at a period in my life, you know, and seen my own mother's mental health decline and see how that system works, which is the very thing that has motivated me to be the person that I am today. So that being said, you know, I know that I'm privileged. I know that, that I experience unconscious bias. I know that, because it's being aware of that and knowing that it exists
right.
based on how I've been raised and trained and the people that I've been around. And I am changing my mind. I am unprogramming those things that have become, yeah. you know, unconscious in my mind. And it's being able to know that and be aware of that and be able to participate in making things equitable for all individuals and using whatever power or privilege you happen to have yeah. to empower other people who haven't had their voice listened to. And so that is something that is a cornerstone of who I am as a person, and also this podcast as well, to make sure that I am able to, as much as we can talk about spiritual stuff too, be able to have the hard conversations and talk about reality, okay. which is that a lot of people have had a tough existence, and that there's systematic oppression and racism that's been built. America was built on it. And, we can disassemble that together, but we have yeah. to talk about it. We have to talk about what happened to Native Americans. We have to talk about gender equality. We have to talk about racial equality in this country, because sweeping it under the rug is not It's not how you do that. It's you've got to face the darkness and shine a light on it so we can all realize that we are all beautiful divine beings and truly can work together to make this place the what we want it to be.
Right. It has to be. It has to be talked about. It has to be brought to the surface. It really does. I mean, and that it really is the only way. It's the only way so that the reality that we're looking at looks and mirrors what's under the surface. You know, under the surface needs to shift.
But we gotta, that's the truth.
Yeah, we gotta look at what's under there. We gotta kind of, you know, and it's been awesome. Yeah, no, it's been
can't just look away.
No, and I just feel like it's been really cool to have conversations with friends that other you know that previously hadn't really awakened to this understanding of what's been going on, and look at me, you know, in tears, you know, and say I'm Puerto Rican, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm light skinned, so I have certain privileges as far as the color of my skin. I'm just going to keep it real. But I am Puerto Rican and I have an accent and I have had my share of experiences around that. And one I was telling one of my girlfriends that I went to the grocery store not too long ago with my son, Ethan. It was just me and Ethan. And for whatever reason, this is how my mind works. And it's always, there's this program that's always running there in the back of my mind when I'm in certain groups, particularly mostly Caucasian groups, right? So I go into this, I'm walking into the store with him and I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, Ethan's with me, Richard's not here, I'm sure it'll be fine. If I have a conversation with someone, it'll be, not that there's ever been any issue with me going to the store with Ethan, but there's a program in my mind that feels more secure when Richard is with us at the grocery store. Then when he's not, isn't that wild? And I observed this. I'm like, wow, Sol, you've gone to the store a million times. You're fine. But you are literally observing a program that's been with you since you were born. You exist with this vibration in your body. Wow. So I was telling my friend that, and she started crying. She's like, I had no idea that that's how you were existing. I'm like, that's how many of us. That's part of how we roll.
And you know? Those things need to be talked about. These are the conversations that need to happen because I'm an Italian American white male, whatever. I'm white, you know, I don't experience that, you know, and I've grown up in rough neighborhoods. So I feel very comfortable pretty much anywhere I go. It takes a lot to bother me, you know, but I also believe in human beings and stuff too, but I just have a different perspective. But my point being, I have never experienced that.
Yeah.
And I would never know that you had experienced that.
All of my people we walk with that.
Men, women, transgender individuals, all there. No one should be afraid to go live their life.
And that's been, and that's a reality. It's a reality. And the whole process of assimilating. I remember that whole process because when I moved to the States, I was, I think, three, maybe four. No, I think I was four because I had the kindergarten in Chicago. But I was, so that was been four when we moved from Puerto Rico. So I remember the process of learning English. And I remember trying so hard to hide the accent because the questions and the this and the assumptions that you don't know what you're talking about. And even still, I get a little tongue-tied. So my how I articulate isn't always how I think it will happen, you know. And so that's just part of my existence, and then you start to and you live in the society and you understand what the stereotypes are, and then you start experiencing certain things, and it's just something that you live with. And my friend had no idea, and I didn't know. I didn't even consider that she didn't know, because it's kind of just part of what you deal with. And she started crying. And her oh my god, then I started crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you for that amount of compassion and love and just empathy. Thank you for seeing that. It's a load to carry. She's like, I can't even.
Well, thank you for sharing, and hopefully That resonates. I mean, it resonates with me, and that resonates with other folks too. I mean, these are the things that we need to talk about and be aware of in our world, when you might be a privileged person who has unconscious bias and microaggressions that you're not aware of, whether it be moving away from somebody or going to the other side of the store. Obviously COVID, you know, you don't want to get in people's spaces, but some people will cross the side of the street because they'll see somebody, you know, maybe who's a different race.
Right.
And so it's being aware of how that continues to maybe affirm how an individual feels about themselves when you are unconsciously doing that kind of thing.
Exactly. It's something else to have to process. You know, it's another layer of thought forms that one has to process. Another layer of thought forms that I've had to process. And I'm grateful for my self-awareness and for the journey that I've been on, because it has allowed me to view myself as not who, you know, and all the labels have been, but what I know to be. And it offers so much compassion, not only to myself, but other people, including the ones that look at you and are like, oh, I don't understand what you're saying. Yes, you do.
Well, yes, you do. It's certainly a privilege to know you. I'm happy that we're friends. Yeah, family, really. I've been happy to be connected to you over all these years. Your business is inspiring to me. I remember when you first started it. So it's been amazing to watch you grow. It's been amazing to watch you become an amazing mother and continue to be. And I cannot put into words how appreciative I am to have somebody like you in my life. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, that warms my heart and it fills my heart. And I love you so much.
I love you too. So if people feel drawn to connect to you, which I certainly hope they have after listening to this podcast, how can people get in contact with you? Where can they find you if they are drawn to maybe getting a piece?
That's awesome. They can through Instagram. They can send me a DM via Instagram, Soulries Jewelry. My website is soulriesjewelry.com. They can reach me that way. I'm also on Facebook. So either of those platforms or ways of contacting me would be fine. And I'm always open to discussing, potential custom order or just setting up a consultation with someone for a future order. So I'm very much open.
Awesome. And I'll reiterate that at the end and also include some links that people can click on in the description of the podcast. I've got one more question for you.
Yes.
And that is, what would you like to upload to the conscious cloud?
It may sound very, you know, but love. Love.
Well, you're the first one to say it, so.
There it is.
Yeah. The universe needs love. It's something that we don't have enough of, and I don't think could really ever have enough of. The world needs love. So thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Oh my gosh, what a ride.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Of course.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll be a regular on this podcast.
Oh, and, I look forward to it.
Yeah. I'm certainly looking forward to 2021 for us. Very, very hopeful about it. Again, that was my friend, Miss Soulries. Always a pleasure to talk to her, and I hope you folks enjoyed that as much as I did. So, if you want to reach out to Soul, you can check out her website, soulriesjewelry.com. She's also on Instagram, at soulriesjewelry. Her and I are going to be working together to do some giveaways and probably do some collaborations here in the future. So stay tuned. Also, she's got all sorts of new fun projects that are in the works that are going to be coming out soon. So I loved Soul's contribution to the conscious cloud. Love, it's simple, yet complex, and one of the hardest things to do at times. And just to say, you know, to love people is to love all beings, all forms of life on this planet. Those you would seek to condemn, those you would seek to disagree with, the ones that are probably the most hard to love, that's where the real work is, where our resistance is. And so to love them is to love them as their right to be, to see them beyond their form, beyond their personality self, their small self, their egoic self, not to dismiss it, because we all have our own. There's a reason we've come and taken the form and inhabited the personalities that we've had, or that we are currently in or have. You know, there's a reason you're somebody's son. There's a reason you're a mother or a brother or a sister. There's whatever way you identify yourself, there's a reason for that. And so it's not to dismiss that or ignore it or bypass it, but to know that that's not who you truly are, to know the I am a brother, the I am statement that is beneath all of those different labeling, categorization, constructed ideas. What's a brother supposed to be like? What's a mother supposed to be like? What type of behaviors or duties are these people supposed to perform? You know, what are any of us really to do? And so I think when you have the I am, it's I am being, I am here. You know, that's what lies beneath all of the other categorizations of data and identity that at times can be very limiting, seeing as I think we are truly infinitely potential beings. So just take that in account, that everybody, that is everyone's potential. And some individuals have been, I don't want to say led astray, because that would be me projecting and imposing what path somebody's supposed to be on, right? Like, you don't go over to a stream and you're like, don't flow that way, flow that way. You know, why are you flowing downstream? You should be flowing upstream, right? So we really can't tell anybody how they should be. How do we know how anyone's supposed to be? Really, we should just focus on ourselves and how we should be compassionate, be kind, be loving, be understanding, right? And to embody that within yourself, because then it'll start to change your surroundings. So hopefully you folks resonate with that. But yeah, so just given the current situation in our country, as we were recording this podcast, people were going to the Capitol and doing what they did. And I'm not going to say too much about it other than Sol and I are here creating this loving thing to put out there to try to help uplift people's consciousness to see beyond the illusory veil of personality and all of these things of what it means to be in anything, right? Be any of those ways you identify yourself, be an American, be a this or that. And so I think it's really important that we view people as also being a part of that, as being a part of this creation we share together. So when we really are saying we are all one, we truly mean it. And so the best thing you can do is love. Love those individuals who seem to be having a tough go at it. Love the hate out of people, you know. And I because when you respond to something, when somebody's taking and making a fear-based action, and you can tell because you can feel it, when someone's doing something out of hate or fear, you know, the responding to it by matching them, by hating them and fearing them and being like, you've got it wrong, and pointing your finger at somebody, you point one finger at somebody, you've got three more pointing back at you. So I don't think that that's the way. I don't think that that's how we're going to get things done, is to tell somebody that they're wrong. And I'm a student of these teachings. I'm not perfect. I'm in condemnation at times where I'm like, I can't believe somebody would do that. Why would somebody kill another person? Why would somebody take this violent action? You know, people are fighting over money. Money's made up. It's an idea. It's a representation of something. People are killing each other over resources when we live on a planet that's abundant enough to provide for everyone. And so I at times am doing the same thing. I'm learning, like, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody be violent? And, you know, I think it's really just, again, going back to yourself and embodying this within yourself. Just, you can not be a violent person, and you can just, you know, take a step back and be like, look, you know what? Maybe these things happen the way they're supposed to. And either everything is divine or nothing's divine. It's not like, you know, all of the things I like and when things are going my way, things are divine. And then, you know, I stub my toe and I run out of gas in my car, or I get a flat tire, and now that's not divine. It's like either all of it is or none of it is. And I live on the side of everything being divine. So sometimes I have to take a step back and be like, you know what? I think nature, the universe, source, God, the monad, the oneness, life unfolded, life as it is, I think it knows what it's doing. I mean, it's done it for billions of years now. And who am I, you know, a blip on, you know, in a timeline of billions of years? Do I think that I know better than the universe or life as it is unfolding out of itself? Do I think that I know better than that? No, I don't. I don't. I know what it's like to be a Joe, right? And I think I'm pretty decent at that. So I'm gonna stick to that. So thanks for listening to me ramble, guys. Again, Soul Rays, soulraysjewelry.com, at Soul Rays on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at The Conscious Cloud. Give us a follow. Could use more interaction. If you guys want to see somebody on the podcast that you think would be a good fit, hit me up. If you think that you would be a good fit, hit me up and we can maybe make something together. Also, if you have Apple Podcasts, if you could subscribe if you're enjoying the podcast, or write us a nice review, certainly helps get us visibility here at The Conscious Cloud, and I would greatly appreciate it. So until next time, folks, be love, be kind, be sweet, and realize that all human beings are worthy of love, and we all hopefully want the same things, which is to be a part of something and to be accepted. And yeah, anyways, be the frequency you want to see, folks. Be the frequency you want to see. I love you guys.